You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the free version of the Michael Savage podcast, and I'm going to keep it free for all of you. But there are many of you who would love to be able to listen to my show without any ads. I love ads, but many of you want to listen to the podcast free of ads. So we created something for you, a solution. We call it the Savage Premium. For less than the price of one flat, tasteless beer at your local bar, you can receive access to all of my podcasts going back years ad-free for just $3.99. That's it, $3.99 a month. You'll get not only my ad-free podcast, but you will also occasionally receive access to material that is exclusive for members only, and I'm going to give you the list in a minute of what you've missed. You're going to get an occasional monologue from me, maybe a reading from one of my novels, sneak peeks of interviews before anyone else hears them, archive pieces dating back to 1994. Many things that come up, you're going to get exclusive access to Michael Savage material. Details can be seen on my website, michaelsavage.com, and if you want to join, all you got to do is go to glow.fm and search Savage Premium. That's glow.fm and search Savage Premium. Now, you will always have access to my free weekly podcast. I want to be clear about that. That's my promise to you. But if you want less ads and more Savage, join the Savage Premium Club today and never miss a spoken word of mine. It's glow.fm/savagepremium. You can find it on michaelsavage.com. And here's some of the stuff that you have missed so far. Michael Savage reading from his best-selling novel, Countdown to Mecca. My words, my voice. Savage reads from one of his lost journals, Fiji, 1968. Savage's first drive-time show, Hour One. My interview with the Jewish gangster, very popular. I read from my first written published article, Who Is at the Helm, from 1965. It's heard nowhere but on my premium site. I read passages from my novel, Abuse of Power. We replayed Fat Al's Tuna. My Savage show from 324.94, the earliest show in the archive, 324.94. My interview with Donald Trump from 110.2011. 110.2011, while Mark Levin was mocking him and Sean Hannity was mocking him and the others were mocking him, I was interviewing Trump. Much more. And remember, subscribers also get ad-free podcasts every week. The cost is less than a beer at a bar, and you get a better buzz with the Savage Premium. So go to glow.fm/savagepremium for full access to ad-free podcasts and exclusive sound you'll not hear anywhere else. Thank you very much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Savage podcast. This is a bonus podcast, and it's not a fun one. It's an evil one. It's about evil. A story just hit the news about a family in California that was kidnapped and murdered. Four kidnapped California family members found dead in remote area, sheriff. Awful rural part of the state. Merced County Sheriff Vern Warnicke said our worst fears have been confirmed when the four bodies, including an eight-month-old girl, were discovered by a farm worker in the Northern California county. The man suspected of kidnapping the family, Jesus Manuel Salgado, was taken into custody. It's a horrible story. It's all too common in America today. And it brought back to me the memory of a terrible story of the McStay family from California. While we wait to see if justice will prevail against this most recent monster, I want to replay parts from my radio show back in 2013, after the bodies of the McStay family were found. People were reeling from this discovery at that time. And in this replay, we talk about the story of the McStay family murder. There are callers on what they think happened to their family. How could this happen? God and religion is dead. Caller who spent time in prison talks about a similar case. His cellmate was an actual killer. And we ask, where is God? Thank you for listening to the Michael Savage Podcast. Please tell your friends. Thank you very much.
The McStay's body's skeletal remains were found on Monday by a motorcycle rider who is traveling through the area of Victorville off I-15. The bones were sticking out of the ground. The motorcycle rider reported that to police as investigators were trying to determine exactly what happened here. There were two different grave sites, according to police and sheriff's investigators. They used dental records to identify the two adults, Joseph and Summer. And as far as the children, DNA tests will be done to determine their absolute identities. But again, police do believe it's them.
This is unbelievable. Welcome to the program. It's not a pretty sight, but a family of four, two young children, a three-year-old, a four-year-old, a mother and a father. They go missing 4 years ago in San Diego. They leave the house. They leave their dogs. Nothing was touched in their bank accounts. Eggs were found cooking on their stove. Today, their graves were found by a motorcyclist driving off-road in the desert. Shallow grave in Southern California's Mojave Desert, belonging to this family missing since 2010. Of course, they were murdered. The skeletal remains of Joseph McStay, 40, Summer, 43, 60 miles east of L.A. But what's more disturbing is their two young boys, Johnny, 4, and Joseph, 3, were found in another grave. You look at their pictures, they're an American family. They're your family. God forbid my family. Who would do a thing like this? Where is this evil coming from in our world that someone would slay a family and throw them into a shallow grave? I looked at this story and I said, well, it's an atrocity. How can I deal with a story like this on the radio? I'm going to ask people to just speculate. Yes, I'm going to ask America to speculate for a few minutes on the show, and I'll tell you why. Every one of you knows this. In this audience, there are retired police, retired detectives. There are criminals. There are murderers. There are saints who listen to this show. There are people maybe who are as disturbed as I am by this story, who may shed some light on it in a public forum that they would never dare shed in a private forum. Is this the world that we live in today? How can we be disturbed about such trivial things in our lives, I ask ourselves, when you see the bones of a young family like this found in a desert? Evil seems to be afoot in the world. It's the most disturbing story I've seen not only this week, but all year. And I realize you didn't hear anything about this today on any of the other shows because the story just broke this evening. Two of four sets of remains found in the desert, identified as Joseph and Summer McStay and their two little children. The two family dogs were left behind. People who knew the family said they were a loving, normal family. At the time of their disappearance, the family even left popcorn, just popped, in two bowls in the living room. There were also rotten eggs found on the kitchen counter. By all accounts, it looked as if the family made a hasty, unplanned retreat. There were no signs of a struggle or forced entry. No blood was found. The couple did not have financial problems and reportedly had more than $100,000 in the bank, right? The mystery only deepened when investigators believed they uncovered video of what looked like the McStays crossing the border into Mexico. It was seen at the time two adults and two children. However, their identities on that videotape were never confirmed. 4 days after the family was reported missing, their SUV was found parked at a shopping mall in San Diego, steps from the Mexico border. The investigation into the remains blew up today when a motorcyclist discovered them in a shallow grave near Highway 15 in the desert. Authorities said they were unclear how long the remains had been buried. I ask you, the Savage Nation, I don't know who you are. I don't know what your background is. What is your theory on this horrendous story of the death of an American family? It's an ordinary American family. Who would kill a father and a mother and the two children? Why would they kill a little child 3 years old and another one 4 years old and throw them into a grave? What kind of world are we living in? Is God dead? Is God dead? Is the devil in charge? First caller, Frederick in Fort Myers, Florida. Go ahead, Frederick. What's your theory on this horror?
I think I can speculate. I mean, was he somebody's money man, or was he like somebody that, was he doing a project for somebody that he didn't know what he was getting into?
And I don't know. Nobody knows. They say the FBI's taken over the investigation. Nobody knows who he was. I mean, I don't even know what he did for a living, frankly. You know, that's, of course, the first question. But if you go to the Daily News, even, which I've linked up on Michael Savage, you see the little boy. It's enough to make you scream. Johnny Giuseppe IV, a little boy like this with long reddish hair, with a little buck. Who would do this to a child? I don't understand this.
How did this go 3 years and we're just not hearing about it?
4 years. Well, the people in San Diego obviously knew about it. But I'm asking the question on a national show for a reason, Frederick. None of us know what happened, nor why it happened. But we're asking ourselves, I guess, a bigger question. Who the hell would do a thing like this? Why would they kill a whole family?
It sounds to me like he got into something that he wasn't, a project he wasn't supposed to be working on that went awry, and it was for somebody that wasn't a positive hire. It wasn't somebody that he should have been hired by. It was maybe a car.
All right, you're saying, okay, your theory as an ordinary American listening to this horror story, listening to the story, which, by the way, broke tonight. It's all over every major newspaper that still prints newsprint. It's on the front page of the Daily News in New York. It's going to be in every, it's a front page of the San Francisco Chronicle website. From coast to coast, people are going to be talking about it. Joseph and Summer McStay vanished from their home 4 years ago with their children, Johnny, G-I-A-N-N-I, little boy, 4, and Joseph. Today, their skeletons were found in shallow graves in the desert. Animals had disturbed the bones. I am asking you what you think went on. I got chills up and down my spine. I told you, get ready for a crazy ride on the show for the next 10, 15 minutes. I didn't plan on talking about this. I wanted to talk about all the other news from the week and from the day. But when a story like this, the slaying of an American family, occurs, you have to ask yourself, hold on now, something is wrong. Evil is afoot in the world. Where is God? Is the devil in charge? And again, I don't know who listens to my show. In a large audience like this, there are detectives, there are murderers, there are psychopaths, there are ordinary people, there are smart people, and they all have ideas. And I'm asking you to call. Mike, your theory, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I believe it's a serial killer.
Why?
Because the pattern of, first thing they would have to do is a victimology on the family. If there was no nefarious activity in the family before and they weren't involved in any sort of wrongdoing, then I would say it was a serial killer, because the prevalence of serial killers in Southern California, the fact that they killed children, which is indicia of a psychosadistic serial killer, and the fact that they just disappeared in such a sudden type matter.
It says on my call screener, Mike, that you're calling out of New York City. You're a retired NYPD detective. Is that correct?
I'm a retired NYPD detective sergeant.
Okay. Were you in homicide?
I was not in homicide. I was a detective squad commander. I'm also a criminal justice professor at John Jay College.
All right. Well, that's pretty good bona fides for me. So from your perspective, this is a serial killer who snatches a family and kills them?
I do believe that. I do believe that they somehow left their home. They were somehow captured by these serial killers and taken and killed.
Oh, God. My God, to think there are ghouls like that walking the planet. Most of us don't think about these things, Mike. We don't want to believe this exists, do we?
No, but I do believe that if they are able to tie it to other homicides that are similar in the area, that they will get some sort of picture on who did the crime.
It's very disturbing, because everyone listening to this show who has a family or had a young family at some time knows that you've gone on road trips, knows that you've gone into sort of isolated areas, whether they be in mountains or deserts or beaches. And most fathers, when they go there, think, well, you know, is there any risk here? And they say, don't be paranoid. Well, let me tell you something. Be paranoid. Be very paranoid. Get a weapon. Own a weapon. Learn how to use a weapon. Defend yourself and your family. Mike, is that bad advice? Is that paranoid advice? Or is that realistic advice?
No, I believe, sir, that is realistic advice. And as a retired sergeant, I do carry a weapon. And I think that's the only way that you can ensure that this type of thing will not happen to you or your family.
Yes. Well, it's a very crazy night in the world. It seems the devil is loose in the world. This is the most disturbing story I've seen, I wouldn't say, in a week or a month. I mean, death is death. You say, okay, there's a devastation in the Philippines. 2,000 are dead. It couldn't have been pleasant to see them die in front of your eyes. But an act of nature is one thing. The force of nature is one thing. But this is a slaying of a whole family. The dogs were not killed. Eggs were on the stove. Popcorn was in the house. What happened here? It's the Savage Nation. Mike in San Francisco, what's your theory of this horror?
Hi, Mike. I think this is a case of mistaken identity, and it's drug-related. There's so many drug people in California with all the illegals. I think it's all tied together. It's a big, big problem that we've got to deal with.
Well, the first thing that entered my mind, given my biases, is that there was some drug thing involved here, okay? But do they kill little children as well?
I think these people are crazy. These drug lords from Mexico, they'll kill everybody.
Well, here's what why I say I don't believe that's a viable theory, and this is probably going to throw people off. By what I have witnessed in the news, you know, going on with Mexican mafia killings, they don't hide the bodies. They display the murder. They leave them for everyone to see in order to scare them. And in that sense, I, as a talk show host, amateur detective, in that sense, would say it doesn't have their fingerprints on it. You know,
one point.
So it leaves another a bunch of questions. We've had one call who said the McStays were killed by a serial killer. We've had another caller who said this was a drug-related killing. What do you think?
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
The McStays' body's skeletal remains were found on Monday. My motorcycle rider, who is traveling through the area of Victorville off I-15, the bones were sticking out of the ground. The motorcycle rider reported that to police as investigators were trying to determine exactly what happened here. There were two different grave sites, according to police and sheriff's investigators. They used dental records to identify the two adults, Joseph and Summer. And as far as the children, DNA tests will be done to determine their absolute identities. But again, police do believe it's them.
Terrible, horrible, unbelievable. What comes to mind? Remains of a whole family. They are America. They're just like your family. There's a few elements of the story that make no sense to me. The father's name is Joseph McStay. The mother's name is Summer McStay. The child, though, the little four-year-old whose bones were found, is Gianni Giuseppe. GIANNI GIUSEPPE. I don't understand it. I don't know why the Italian name is in there. I don't get this. I mean, does it have anything to do with it? Doesn't it? I mean, you know, come on. We're just ordinary people looking at this story. Something's wrong here. Something is wrong with this picture. Rich has a lead in his mind owing to the low. Well, go ahead, Rich. You tell your story. What's your suspicion?
It's a pleasure, Dr. Savage. I lived in about 20 years there in San Diego, and recently I moved up to Northern California because there are certain areas of San Diego that's very dangerous. San Diego is a huge county, and I'm not sure where they started or where they are living, but there's a huge drug trade, either from El Cajon out of Pacific Beach or all these other areas, including North County.
Okay, their bones were found in the Mojave, outside the town of Victorville. So that doesn't mean anything.
No.
But now let's look where their house is. That's the interesting thing. Where did they live is the issue. And I don't know what you're saying here is you're implying that they were on some, you know, traffic route here, and maybe that's something to do with it. That's what you're implying, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the first intuition that everyone would have. You say Mexico bodies, Mexican border bodies, you immediately say drugs. I mean, that's the first logical conclusion, but is it logical? And is it the right conclusion? I don't know. We're guessing. It's all speculation. You say, well, why are you bothering with this story? Well, we should be talking about Obamacare and Obama. because you've heard everything else. And frankly, this is rattling me. Why? Because I once had kids this age. I protected them like a lunatic. I wouldn't let them out of my sight. But still in all, what can a man do if he's in the middle of nowhere without a weapon? But they seem to have been snatched out of their house. That's the thing. Popcorn was on the stove. Eggs were found rotting in the kitchen. Their dogs were left unmolested in the backyard. Now, that doesn't sound like a drug hit by the fantasy land of movies and television. If someone comes in to kill, they usually kill the dogs, don't they? I know you don't want to dwell on it. I get it. I don't blame you. You want something humorous, funny, sarcastic, satiric. I can't do it because something's wrong with this picture. What kind of country am I living in? Is I keep asking myself, what has happened to the country? Everything is shot. No, it's not Obama. Obama didn't do it. That's not the point. There seems to be a loss of sanity at every level. God is dead. God is dead. Family is dead. The church is dead. Authority is dead. Nobody knows which way to turn, and that's why everyone is hunkering down in their own world. That's why there are so many preppers. That's why everyone wants a gun. That's why people are armed to the teeth and lock their doors and turn their alarms on at night. I thought about this the other night in another way. I bicycle sometimes after a show, and I ride by suburban houses when I'm in the suburbs. Every house is locked down tight. Everyone's lights are on and alarms are on, and I say, look at them. They're all sitting here waiting for a home invasion. And I said, you know what? Maybe they're not crazy. Maybe they're not crazy. Maybe they're not crazy. What world do you live in? The liberal world of Upper Manhattan where nothing goes wrong? Where you think you're protected and nothing can touch you?
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Here are some breaking details about the missing McStay family whose bones were found in the Mojave Desert today. After 4 years of being missing, Sauce, the Examiner, on the Savage Nation, Joseph, Summer, and their two children, Joseph and Gianni, lived in Fallbrook, a small town north of San Diego. They had been living there only 2 months before they disappeared, leaving a carton of eggs on the counter and two cereal bowls full of popcorn on the couch and the dogs in the backyard. Detective Troy Dougal said, I absolutely know their financials and their friends better than I know my own financials and my wife's friends. What troubles the detective the most about the case is that there were 4 days that passed before the McStays assumingly crossed the border, as seen in the hazy surveillance tape. He wonders if they were staying with friends or at a hotel. Now listen to this. The day they disappeared, the wife, Summer, had made a cell phone call to a homeopathic medicine company and asked an employee for a medication called Anger, which the internet company responded it doesn't exist. I don't know what that means. Then at 7:47 p.m., the McStay's Isuzu Trooper, the same one that was found at the San Ysidro shopping center, was picked up by a neighbor's surveillance tape as it passed by. The last phone call Joseph made was at 8:28 p.m. to an employee to follow up on a meeting they had earlier in the day. The employee told Dougal that it was strictly business and Joseph was calm. Now, what does the father do? That's the first thing that enters my mind. Here it is. A computer search showed that the wife, Summer, had emailed a Craigslist seller about Rosetta Stone software to learn Spanish. They were selling and And witnesses say they saw Joseph at a soccer game shaking hands with two men the day that the software was supposed to be picked up. Also on the computer was the queries for passport requirements and the age requirements for entering the country. Dougal believes that the surveillance tape at the border shows the McStays as the woman is wearing fur and UGG boots, which Summer had a penchant for. The man and the kids are wearing hats, which they often did. Many have guessed that the McStays were under a witness protection program, but Dougal says the FBI assures him that they are not. I believe something occurred within those four walls between the four family members that made them leave in a hurry. It may have been good. It may have been bad. I don't know, said the detective. Well, I don't know what that means. Well, I don't know where to go with this. Something is terrible with this picture. We have America listening, at least the number of people who are on a Friday night listening to the Savage Nation. Do you have any knowledge? Do you have any theories you care to share? Let us go to George. What's your opinion?
Good evening, Michael. First, footnote, the forensics and cause of death may be a clue, but as far as witness protection, I'm in that category because the FBI would never admit to it.
Okay.
They screwed up and they put somebody under witness protection. They're going to admit it?
Okay. That's an idea. I don't know. Texas, Patrick, your opinion. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's real simple, man. I don't know how, but it's Pacifico cartel. I mean, it's really simple. I lived in Monterrey, Mexico for, 9 months, actually around that time, believe it or not. And, I don't know how or why, whether they're involved or whether it's random, but this is obviously a cartel move. I mean, you find
Why do you say obviously when indicators would suggest that the cartels generally leave the bodies for people to be found?
Okay, well, possibly because whoever is involved in the cartel is still stateside. They obviously were stateside to begin with during the home invasion, and that's actually I don't believe that to be true. You look at Juarez, Mexico, right on the side of El Paso. They find bodies in the desert all the time. Now, generally, it is women that have been raped or whatever, but they've also used that area to. They find men. They find all kinds of people in that area.
Why would they kill a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old?
Okay, well, first, I don't know how much you know about the cartel, but they worship the angel of death. They don't believe. They don't have the same morals and values. Killing children is nothing to them. They do it all the time in their own country. It doesn't matter. I used to walk around and have to look over my shoulder just because I was an American. I mean, it's scary business there. If you go to any, and it's accepted. You go into the markets in Monterrey, Mexico, even, which is actually one of the wealthiest cities in Latin America, and you see this devil worshiping that's just accepted amongst the culture.
Gee, I wonder why the Gang of Eight in our Senate wants to bring so many of those good folks to our country.
Well, there is, believe it or not, there is a lot of good folks there, but there is still that element. And once again, that element is stronger than, I'll tell you this, and this is sad, and I do not want to admit this, but in 2008, when I was in Monterrey, Mexico, as a dumb youth, I decided I was going to vote for President Obama. Called this a sign of God, but I went to the embassy in Monterrey, and it was locked down because the cartel had bombed the embassy. The federales cannot do anything to stop these people. They run that country. They run Mexico. They're stronger than the military. They're stronger than the police force. They have better weaponry. And probably a lot of that has to do with our government, Fast and Furious, so on and so forth. But it's not like it is here, in that aspect. I mean, the bad guys.
No, you mean not like it is here yet. Well, certainly things are changing here. And if we grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens and we have no way to know whether this has anything to do with immigration aliens, but I can guarantee you on that issue that this country will never, ever recover.
No, absolutely not.
This is a horrible story, and maybe I'm bumming you out. I mean, I can't do anything else. If I show you the sound that my guys collected for the day, maybe there's 50 pieces of sound here that we were going to use. Obama, this, the Nancy Pelosi, James Clyburn, Jim McDermott, some sound bites from the week of what we had done when I talked about the dangers of massage, North Korea executing 80 people. How about the Pledge of Allegiance being banned? A state and horror story. We were going to do some of that. We had many other stories. But when I saw this story, I said, frankly, my mind is now so disturbed by this killing because this is an American family. That's what I'm trying to get at. This is an average American family. I don't know what's going on in the world is what I'm saying to you. Something's wrong with the picture. What's your theory? What's your theory? Ray in New York, go ahead. What's your theory on this murder?
Yeah, I believe that it was somebody who noticed them and needed a vehicle to get down to the border. And you said they had like an SUV?
Yeah.
I believe that they just, because now you're telling me the dogs were in the yard, They just knocked on the door with a gun and grabbed them all. And once they achieved getting to where they were, they no longer had any use for them, so they just killed them all. Just so that
it could be felons fleeing back across the border, saw a house with a car in a driveway and ran them, knocked on the door or broke in a door, took them, throw them in the car, and that's the end of the story. It could be.
My gut feeling. Because I live in New York City, and an incident like that happened to where somebody got bombed, but it just so happened that there was another man in the house, and he had a gun. So they ran.
Well, don't tell that to the liberals who are gunophobes. You know, to a liberal, a gun is a bad thing. To a conservative, a gun is life and death.
Well, a liberal don't like guns until somebody is going to shoot them, then they wish they had one.
No, they usually get out a baseball bat from their youth that they keep in the closet, certain that they can protect their family with a Little League bat that they've taken with them for the last 40 years. Sad, but unfortunately true. Now, here comes a caller from Salem, Oregon, that may disturb you. And I warn you to listen carefully because I don't know what's coming, but I'm looking at my board, and by what I see is extremely disturbing. Todd, Salem, Oregon, go ahead, please. What do you think happened here?
I've done some time, and I had a celly. There was a jogger that was jogging out through the forest, and he found some bones. With his dog, found some bones, and so they've been looking for this guy, but they couldn't find a body, and they finally found the body, and then did the tests on it and proved that it was the missing guy. And
but you're saying on the board, Todd, by what I'm reading, you said cellmate murdered someone in similar story. Is that what you originally were going to say?
He did murder this guy. He cut his hands off. Well, actually, the story was he was supposed to watch all of his tools while he went to jail. And so he came back out of jail, and the guy sold all his tools and was doing drugs and stuff, so he shot him, and then he cut his head off. He cut his hands off. He went and buried him in a shallow grave out in the woods.
I think what you're saying is there are people who have no compunction about doing this to anybody.
Well,
they'll do it. You'll just say they'll do it, period. I mean, that's what you're saying. It's not a movie, in other words, where movies, oh, it's horrible. We shouldn't look at that. You're saying in the real world this goes on is what you're telling us.
Methamphetamine just destroys people's minds.
Mm. You see, the average person who lives in a regular world goes to work, comes home, brushes their teeth, takes vitamins. You know what I'm saying? They don't even want to believe such a thing could happen. They don't want to believe the world is this evil, Todd. None of us do.
Well, I have another story about a guy that tied my 100-year-old great aunt up and stole the rings off her fingers. And I met him in prison, and I knew who he was, and he tried to extort me. And I didn't want to beat him up because I was trying to get clear conduct and stuff.
All right, well, thank you for that. So, look, I mean, I told you we're going to get detectives, we're going to get criminals, ex-prisoners who have ideas. Some of them are rational, some don't make sense. There's a bigger question, though. It's about evil. Where is God? You know, I had this discussion with someone who said, I heard your show the other day after the hurricane, or the typhoon, where 2,000 people died. And you said, what do you mean, all of them were guilty? And you kept saying, where is God? What happened to God? And this person said to me, don't you understand for every force there's an equal and opposite force, and the opposite force is the devil? And she had a biblical perspective, which is that the devil is just as strong as God, and they're in a constant fight. Now, that is a very religious perspective, by the way. And frankly, I'd forgotten that. I'd only looked at one side of it, which is like, why has God forsaken us in some ways? And then I say, wait a minute, I forgot that there's this celestial battle, or this eternal celestial battle between good and evil, between God and the devil, if you want to put it that way. And sometimes the devil gets the upper hand. Now, did it make me feel any better? No, it didn't make me feel anything. But I do remember that conversation. Florida on WBOB. Chris, go ahead on the Savage Nation.
Yes, God is bringing judgment on the world, and he has begun this process by removing his hand of restraint on the churches. And for thousands of years, people have been getting their quote-unquote morality when they went into the church, and the churches are a little bit out of whack with the reality of...
You know, I've thought about that myself, what you just said. The children have no moral compass, no right, no wrong, nothing. Now, in the past, when the nation was filled with church spires in every town, the families had to go to a house of worship. They had to listen to the preacher who rained down upon them hellfire and brimstone. He warned them they would go to you know where if they misbehaved. Am I correct?
Well,
and then what happened was, say it started in the 60s, let it all hang out, bring it all down, man. Oh, screw religion. I want to smoke pot. I want to sleep with anybody. There's no morality. Look where we are today. I have the same exact feeling. And you look forward and you say the only thing that can save this country and maybe the world is a return to religious worship. I sometimes believe that. Margaret Ann Reno, thanks for calling the program. What do you think?
I love the idea that your format does not drone on again the rest of the day about Obamacare. I'm a political news junkie, but I am so grateful for your programming style. I've listened for years. You didn't used to be in our market, and it was my brother who lived in the Bay Area who would tell me about, oh, you got to hear this guy out of San Francisco. His name's Savage Nation. And so when I had an opportunity to hear you here on the KKOH affiliate, I picked you up immediately. I've listened on and off for years, but I must tell you, I love the new thrust that you've got of mixing it up, even though this story is really pitifully sad that you're talking
about. It is pitiful. That's right. It's agonizingly sad to me. I wasn't going to do it, but before the show, I got so agitated looking at the children's faces in the pictures when they were healthy and alive, of course. I said, something's wrong with this picture. I don't understand it, but maybe somebody in my audience knows something and will call a national show and give away a hint. You never know, Margaret, who might call the show and why. And I've had callers tonight that I've never, ever had on this show before. I don't have to mention who they were or what their background. People who would never call a radio show called tonight with some ideas. We don't know who you are. We have no way of tracing your call. We don't do that. Put a handkerchief over the phone. Maybe you can help solve this horrible murder. No, I'm serious. It's crazy. Okay, let's go to Mississippi. James, go ahead, please. Your theory.
Like you always say, Michael, follow the money. And my kids are out of school today because of brutal murder here in Oxford, Mississippi. Family member killed his own brother and his mother as principal of the school. Nobody can figure out why, but committed in a steady shock.
Okay, but you're saying follow the money. Is that what you're saying?
You said there was $100,000 in the bank account. He probably
yes.
Had insurance. People are, they need a fix. They need money. They're in debt, gambling. You know, casinos all around here. Everybody spent every bit of money they have. If not, they're spending on meth or pot or whatever.
Now, that's raising an interesting question. All the casinos, all of the drugs, people get desperate. Gee, I thought that no one remembered that casinos are gambling institutions and people lose everything. I thought it was just a fun place to go for a drink. But let's not blame it on casinos. Thank you for the call. Shirley, what's your suspicion? Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say, I remember one show ran a program on this family, and they showed pictures of them going through some terminal or something. And my feeling at that time, the family didn't look worried or anything, except that they were anxious to get wherever they were going. And my feeling at that time, it was someone they knew that tricked them into coming to meet them on an emergency or whatever. And to me,
Originally they were seen on grainy footage going over the border, walking over on their own volition. So what happened? Why would they kill young boys like that?
The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
San Diego, Adam, you have a novel approach. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Actually, I had a best friend that lived in the neighborhood where this lane took place. And it's in North County, San Diego. And if you take one left turn out of that neighborhood, in about 5 miles, you're at the Paula Casino. And I used to work at a movie theater right in that area, too. And we had freaking robberies from people coming from the Paula Casino to the movie theater. And they'd rob us, and they'd either go towards the beach or they'd go on the 15 North. And the 15 North, it goes straight to Vegas. And right between the where this plane took place and Vegas is Victorville. So my theory is someone came from the Paula Casino, lost all their money, got desperate, whatever, stuck out this family, kidnapped them, took whatever they got, ransom, whatever, dumped their bodies in Victorville, booked it to Vegas, lost all the money, whatever they needed to do, came back down, dumped the car by the border, and let look like something happened down by the border. That's what I had to guess, but I have no idea. It's just a coincidence that where the bodies are found were between Vegas and San Diego, and right on left, right out of the neighborhood, is another casino. So I think it's just too suspicious.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's a chilling analysis, and I'm certain that there are detectives on this case listening to the show who have either come to the same conclusion or will follow your, let us say, suspicions. Remember, what is a detective? He's a trained individual, but he's also just a person with a suspicious mind. And the more suspicious, the better. What's your theory? Henry, go ahead, please, on this horrible story of the killing of the family.
Michael, my theory is simply this. These people left in a hurry. Their children were murdered, so they are involved deeply. And the reason why I say that is because in order for a cartel to murder kids in the whole family, they would have had to have been involved in possibly a snitch type of situation, or they possibly did something, or they were planning on ratting someone out. Because a while back, if you remember, they pulled a hit on somebody and accidentally shot a priest. And everybody from that hit squad were cartel members. They were all executed. So there is a kind of code that these people play by, even though it's kind of, you know, morbid when you think about it. There's a lot of money at stake.
But wait, what you're saying is they killed the children, obviously, in your mind, so there'd be no witnesses? Is that the issue?
No, I think they murdered the whole family because other people who were possibly involved, if they got the idea that they were going to snitch, that this is what's going to happen to you.
But you see, this doesn't make sense to me as an outside observer for one reason. The bodies were buried in a grave in the middle of a desert. They were not left out in the open. By what I've read, when the drug cartels kill people, they leave the bodies out to scare others. They don't bury them, and these people were disappeared for 4 years.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? They were, no one knew where they were. There was no, like, okay, here's what'll happen to you, because they were gone. They were just found this week by accident by a motorcyclist who stumbled upon them. Something's wrong here. One other call on this topic right now. Missouri, Noah, is there a police? I don't know if he's in the police. He said there's a similar case that he's going to compare. Noah in Missouri on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, I am a police officer working with narcotics investigations. There's a very similar case that I've helped participate with out of Springfield, Missouri. A woman who was a hairdresser was involved in selling cocaine. And she owed money. The people that took that she owed money to came to her home. Her daughter, who happened to be had graduated high school the night before, and a friend happened to be over at the house at the same time that they came to exact the retribution, get the money from the woman. All three were taken. All three are presumed to be killed, and they were buried in a property out in the middle of the Ozarks. This case has a lot of similarities in the fact that nobody is trying to put the bodies out on display. It's not a point. You're not trying to make a point. It's more or less whoever did it is trying to hide or conceal the offense.
Well, that's what I was saying to the last caller. There's no one sending a message to others that this will happen to you because they disappeared them, right?
Correct. So there's not enough. You have to look for the motive, the reasoning behind doing it. And so the evidence is for something as simple as how they dispose of the bodies. So they're doing it in such a way that they're trying to conceal us. They're trying to conceal the offense. It'd make me think or believe more along the lines that whomever did it, probably, I'm assuming that these people maybe were involved in narcotics, that they owed money, and that whoever wanted the money, when they came to the home, it just happened to be a terrible circumstance that the children are there, but you have to take everybody. And we see this in other cases, the case where in our area that's very similar to this, it's people are at the wrong place at the wrong time. And so that kids were most likely murdered as well, simply because they were at the home at the time that the individuals came to do this crime.
Terrible. Terrible. The family's locked and abandoned trooper, Isuzu trooper, was found February 8th, 2010 in San Ysidro, California, 2 blocks from the border. Surveillance video that was taken that night showed a family fitting the description of the McStays walking into Mexico, but from there the trail went cold. Now, what does that say to you?
Well, it could be multiple reasons, but if I was trying to throw the trail off or to add suspicion into other realms, that's a place that U.S. officers are going to have a hard time doing investigations in. So if you can lead somebody to believe that the offense has actually occurred in Mexico, it throws off our investigations immensely.
Mm. Oh, so it may not have even been that family. It could have been just, just set up to look like them.
It's always possible. You know, it's unknown what would happen there. I'm looking more along the lines of just reading over the articles, looking at the situation, and based off...
All right, so you're saying sometimes the obvious is what really happened, and the first thing that comes to anyone's mind when you say family disappears, car found, disappeared 4 years, now they're found in a desert, it's in the area of Mexico, the first thing that comes to anyone's mind is drugs. That's the first thing, am I right?
Well, for me, yes, it does, because that we see a lot of similarities in crimes where families are killed, or either crime of the passion, which is usually going to involve the male figure in the household, which would be a murder-suicide, which is not going to be the case here. So then you got to look to an outside perspective, and since it didn't look as anybody in the family had done it, then you're going to look to other motives. Money is always the biggest issue, and narcotics is number one on that list for either owing money or selling. That just is the logical chronological order that I would look at.
Fascinating. I really appreciate the callers we're getting tonight on the show. I know this is a little diversion from my normal fare on the program, and I realize that you have other options rather than dwelling on such a horrible story. And you may ask yourself, well, why is Michael so locked on this? It's because something is so wrong in the world. It's not the first family that has been slain that I have read about. Let's put it to you that way. Nor will it be the last family that we read about, unfortunately, that will be slain. But there's something so horrible about the thought of a human being who would slay children and throw them in a grave in front of the parents. But then again, maybe I live in a Mickey Mouse land. When I look at what's going on in the Middle East, when I see the bloodthirsty creatures who, in the name of their God, slaughter each other because they're the wrong sect of Islam, I say to myself, anything is possible. They put bombs in another guy's mosque because he's the wrong sect of their religion. Have you ever heard of anything like this? Killing anyone, men, women, children, dogs, cats, squirrels, doesn't matter what. All in the name of God because they're the wrong sect of Islam? So this is not so unusual in other parts of the world. And as America devolves because of the seepage of third world people and third world mentality and third world mores into this nation, as we melt down from being, and I will say it, a God-fearing Christian nation, and we've opened our borders because of the corruption of the politicians to the third world, which has entered this nation and brought with them the devastating mentality I think you're going to see more of this rather than less of it.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.